This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Outfit there, or who's that by? That's great.
Yeah, this is mine. This is from my closet. Six in the morning trying to grab something. Yeah, this is what I pulled together.
So I'm sure you've answered this question 100 times already.
We need it.
But how did you feel when David snuck up with the eye speculum thing and didn't tell you about the bugs and all that stuff?
Oh my gosh. I was about to kill him. I really was, because he said, I have an idea for this scene. I'm like, what do you mean you have an idea for this scene? He's like, well, you know, there's this thing, it's called a speculum, and it kind of goes in your eye, but you numb it, so you're not going to feel it, and you only have to do it once. I'm like, okay, fine, if I have to do it, you have to do it. He's like, sure, no problem. So we do it, and it's horrible. And they're like, don't blink, don't blink. I'm like, okay. And then he's like, wow, that looks really cool. I want a close shot right here, I want a shot right here, I want a shot right here. So we ended up doing it like 6 times, and he didn't do it at all. I'm like, great. But it was horrible.
And then he didn't warn you about any of this beforehand, right? The bugs?
No, not at all. The bugs, he was like, there's potato bugs. I mean, I found one in my backyard. It's not really a big deal. They're harmless. It's whatever.
You said you got one caught down your shirt.
Yeah, so they showed me the potato bugs, and they're huge. They were like this big, and he's like, so we're going to put some on you, but they're fine. They start crawling up my shirt, literally, like, going into my boobs. One caught onto my arm, just, like, started biting me. I'm like,
oh, they bite?
Yeah.
Oh,
like, boy. You told me they don't bite. He's like, I don't know. I mean, great. They're, like, eating each other. They're horrible bugs. I mean,
was there a potato bug wrangler?
Yeah, there actually was. There really was. He was from South Africa, I think. He couldn't have been sweeter, but he was so serious about his bugs, and you know.
But he was losing them.
Yeah, he was losing them, and one of them was caught on my arm. I'm like, I don't know what to do. He's like, it's okay, don't harm them. I'm like, I just want to fling this. I don't care about the bug right now. But, you know, they have to, regulations.
And how long did you have to shoot with all of that?
They put me through the ringer a while. Yeah, so we had to do multiple shots of one, like, on my hand, one crawling on me, a bunch on my whole body, you know. So I had we got really well acquainted.
What about watching exorcisms on YouTube? Is that how you did your research?
That's exactly how I did research. I figured, you know, I can, you know, go buy the books and, you know, do research that way. But I really wanted something visual, something that I could really, you know, see so that I can create my own, you know, idea of an exorcism. So I went on YouTube, you know, it's a few. You know, so I'm like, why not? Let's check it out. So I, you know, amateur videos, exorcisms, you know, that's what I searched, and I found really crazy things. I mean, if you search that, it's like, it's actually really terrifying. You have people all over the world, some parents thinking that their kids are possessed, they take them into, you know, churches, and like, my kid is possessed, you need to do an exorcism. And some of the kids are terrified. They're like, I don't know if the parents are crazy, I don't know if, you know, these kids actually, you know, whatever. But some people react so many different ways, you know. Some are screaming, some are completely still, some are, you know, it's just really scary. And I watched it by myself at night. I was petrified. I couldn't sleep. I mean, it's the scariest thing, because it gets in your head. And for me, you know, psychological thrillers are, you know, really just terrify me, like The Exorcist. That's probably my favorite horror film. And I watched it when I was, I think, 7 years old with my mother the first time. I don't know why my mom ever let me watch that. But, I couldn't go to the bathroom by myself. I couldn't go upstairs by myself. I couldn't sleep. It was really, it just got in my head, you know? And Linda Blair did an amazing job anyway, so.
Can you talk a little about working with people like Gary Oldman and Jane Alexander?
Yeah, absolutely. I was, you know, it's so weird when somebody says, okay, we're letting you be the lead of this movie, and you're going to be opposite Gary Oldman and Jane Alexander, and but you have a bigger role than them. It's like, what? You know, like, these are the greats. You know, these are actors. You know, these are people that you admire. And I was really nervous at first, you know. And to tell you the truth, they couldn't have been better. They just kind of took me under their wing and just, you know, gave me great advice. You know, Gary, you know, sat me down one day and he's like, this is how you have to deal with the business. This is how, what you have to do. Don't tell me stories about The Professional and about Sean Penn and about all these, you know. It was just like, you're Gary Oldman. You're calling me by my first name. How do you? This is so weird. So, you know, it's, you know, and I learned so much. They're so professional and just, like, on it. It was great.
Were there contacts involved, or was that CGI for the eyes?
Contacts. And I've never worn contacts, ever. And I have super sensitive eyes. So I was like, how in the hell am I going to get through this? I did it. I was like, don't think. Just do it. Don't complain. So I, you know, it's, you know, just like anything else, you just have to get used to it. And I did. But, and there were different stages of the color. So, you know, certain ones didn't hurt as much as others. But, you know, it was irritating after a while.
Were you getting a lot of horror scripts after Cloverfield?
What's that?
Were you getting a lot of horror scripts after Cloverfield?
I mean, here and there, yeah. I guess more so than anything else. But, you know, I don't really, I guess I don't want to be stereotyped, but I never say never. So whenever, you know, when I saw the Unborn script, I loved it so much, and I was like, it doesn't matter. I have to do this. This would be a great opportunity.
Yeah, I was wondering what stood out about this from what you must have been offered. In terms of
yeah, well, I think one of the main things was that this isn't a remake. You know, it's a horror film that is a new idea, completely new concept, you know, an original story. And that really stood out to me because, you know, I get to... And nowadays, I don't think women have such great opportunities to play a character like this and, you know, to be able to carry a whole film, you know, yourself. So I was, you know, I was really fortunate to have that role and to be able to hit every single emotion because it really is... She really is a tortured, you know... soul, and she goes through so much throughout the movie. So as an actress, you know, you kind of look forward to those roles. Would I do it again? Yes, but I would, you know, it's a challenge. It's, you know, you kind of have to know that you're going to be working all day long. You're going to be in bad weather conditions. You can't complain. You can't get sick. You can't do anything. You have to be on it. You have to do it. And it's what I love the most. And, you know, I'm really grateful that I even get to do this.
How is it working with David Goyer?
Oh, great. He's such a great director. I mean, I was such a fan of his work even before, you know, I even got the script. And so I knew about his writing and, you know, just working with him, sitting down and, you know, kind of creating this character and what we wanted from her. And, you know, we just became really close and had this really great relationship. We joke around all the time on set and, you know, so it was really fun. It was a great, great experience.
Well, what about Cam? Okay. What about Cam? And I was wondering if you hung out off set at all or were you tired or what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. Cam was actually shooting Twilight before The Unborn, and I was shooting another movie as well. Yeah, so we kind of contacted each other through email. We communicated that way and through the phone for, you know, so while he was shooting, while I was shooting, we were doing that. And then when he got to Chicago, we kind of like forced ourselves to hang out with each other, you know, not that it was such a bad thing, but you know, so we would go out together. We would go to dinner. We would talk about the character. We would rehearse just because we wanted a real relationship. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you get to know somebody, you know what to do in a scene to like make them laugh or, you know, just certain things. If you know somebody, that works so much better that way. And with Megan as well. I actually, Megan and I got along well. I mean, right from the moment that we met each other, it was really great.
It shows on screen too. I mean, like, I mean, I have friends just like Megan, how she would act. You know, she's like, dude, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, how is that? Like, do you guys still talk? Like, how is that? Because the chemistry on the screen was, like, really good. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were really, really lucky because we had actually met probably 2 years before, and we got along super well. So when we both found out that we were doing the movie together, we're like, this is perfect. Like, we don't even have to act. You know, this is like, so we, you know, we kind of just... We didn't even need to rehearse together. It just kind of flowed naturally for us. And, you know, every time we see each other, we always hang out. And, you know, we're really buddies off screen. So hopefully that showed.
How did you feel when there was a real earthquake during the...
It was... I mean, it's unbelievable how, you know, how that happened. And so many different weird things, you know, like the lights would start going on and off. There was an earthquake in Chicago. There was, you know, this picture that was taken of this... This guy going down a stairwell and these hands like grasping him and like
what's that about?
What?
Yeah, some I think it was like a grip or a crew member was going down, took a picture and you can see like hands like coming out. I'm like, what? Well, I don't like what is going on here?
In that
in the insane asylum, yeah.
Oh, woo.
Wow.
I was like looking over IMDb resumes and scoping out stuff and I found two on you that were very good. On Transformers, it says Socialite, and on Walk Hard, it says Reefer Girl.
Yeah! That's my favorite. Yeah, you know, with Transformers, my I'm pretty good friends with the casting director, and she called me in, and I was auditioning for something else, and she's like, hey, before you go, we just need this, like, small role. Do you want to do it for Transformers? I'm like, yeah, why not? I mean, that'd be cool. So I did it, and that's how that came about. And then for Walk Hard, I think I also knew the casting director, and they're like, will you come in, just, like, play around with this and just see what comes out? I'm like, sure. So I ended up doing it, and, you know, working with John C. Reilly and Tim Meadows was awesome. And what wasn't awesome was having to smoke those herbal cigarettes all day long. My fingers were yellow, and it was like, ugh, it was so bad.
You were like Megan Fox. You guys could play sisters.
Okay. What's that?
But you got the name Reefer Girl out of it.
Exactly. I'm super happy about that.
I remember the reefer scene. Where was the socialite in Transformers, so we can go back and...
I'm in the car, and, you know, Shia LaBeouf is coming towards me, and he hits my car, and I say something like, did that guy dent my car or something? And then the Transformer comes up and, like, grabs my face.
You do look like Megan Fox. You guys could play sisters.
I get that a lot.
Have you ever met her and talked with her because of that? Or?
No. I met her while I was shooting Transformers, and she was really nice, but I get that comparison a lot, which is fine. I'll take it. She's beautiful.
I don't mean as actresses. You just look like her.
Right. Yeah.
Strange. Okay.
You know. I guess so. I don't know.
Any word on a possible Cloverfield sequel?
Well, I did have dinner with one of the producers, and he kind of toyed with the idea that maybe they would be coming out with a sequel. I haven't heard anything yet. I don't think any of the original cast members would be in it. They would my guess is that they would probably go with, you know, the perspective of another group of people that experience the same, you know, event. But I haven't really heard, so don't quote me on that. I don't really know.
As an actress, how do you keep your energy up all day? When this is really, it's going to be exhausting, and that they're so heightened, the scenes,
right,
when things are really bad.
Yeah, you know, I think I have this thing, and I don't know how any other actor works, but I feel like, you know, the actor, especially the lead actor, kind of sets the tone for the whole movie. And I think it's really important as an actress to kind of, you know, be on set, even though you're so exhausted and you hardly ever get any sleep, it's still really important to, you know, to just come in with a smile on your face and put everybody in a better mood, because if not, it's like, well, what are you working for, you know? We're all here to have fun. We're not curing cancer. We're trying to, you know, entertain people. So, you know, it's like, it can get really intense on set sometimes. So trying to, you know, ease that up a little bit, I think, is also an actor's job. But I know other people would not agree with me, and maybe other actors, you know, kind of just do their thing and then leave. But I kind of want to, you know, embrace everybody and make everybody feel comfortable.
So you don't need to stay in character when the in-between shots, like some...
I'm not really method, no. I mean, mm-hmm. I definitely, if it's a really intense scene, people will know. I'll have my iPod in and, you know, listen to music, and, you know, I'll have my head down, and they know not to. But usually I'm just, you know, I can pretty much just be me when I'm not shooting.
What was actually there on set? Like, was there a dog without its head upside down or without its mask? Or what did you see that was actually on set?
There was a real dog. Her name was Maddie. She didn't listen at all. I mean, she was horrible. It was like, come on, figure it out. Like, come on, guys. Literally, the dog wouldn't move, or it would walk away, or it would not do the right thing. So I was like... But it was a real dog, and it was kind of scary when, you know, the mask would go on. It's like, oh my god.
So the dog was actually wearing a mask? I thought that was CG mask.
Yeah, no, they would put the mask on.
Oh, Hunter didn't want to do it.
Yeah, you know, the dog's like, what is going on?
Can you talk about acting with that creepy little kid? I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure he wasn't really a creepy little kid, but...
He actually wasn't creepy at all. He's, you know, the cutest little thing ever. Well, there were two kids,
yeah.
Bardo and Maddie. And they were just so, so adorable. I mean, Bardo, it was like, one of the scenes, it was so funny, I was on the gurney for the exorcism scene, and, you know, he was like, hey, Odette, how's it going today? I'm really excited about this scene because, you know, I get to, like, scare you, and, like, I really can't wait for this. And so David Goyer would say, okay, now, Ethan, when I say action, you have to open your eyes and don't blink. He's like, okay, guys, I got it. So he'd go like this, they go, action. He's like... How was that? Was that good? I think that was good, right?
Should have gotten them those
pictures. Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
Now, did he have to wear contacts, too, or is that CGI?
He did. He did have to wear contacts.
Like that.
No, I think that he, you know, got used to it after a little while, but we were both like, oh, great, we had to put the contacts in. So it was kind of a joke between us. But he was fantastic. He just such a little trooper.
You've bounced back and forth, though. You've done some TV shows, and now you're doing a lot more movies.
Right.
Are you interested in doing another TV commitment, or are you...
You know what? TV is really, and I always say this, but it's really bittersweet for me because I had such a great experience shooting October Road. It was like I had this great family, and I have these mentors, the creators of the show. They kind of just guide me with everything that I do now. And I definitely would, if it was the right character and if it was, you know, a great script, a great pilot, I would, of course, you know, toy with the idea. And especially if it was with the same creators of October Road. Anything for them, of course. So,
were you at the screening last night? Did you?
No, I wasn't.
Have you seen this with an audience?
I saw it with about like 15 people, but I saw a really rough cut. You know, mm-hmm. The music wasn't done, and you know, there were. I think they were going to add a few more scares. So. I'm really excited to see it when it comes out. I think I'll go to the theater, maybe just like sit in the back and sit and watch the reaction. Hopefully they'll like it. What if like they're like, wow, this movie sucks, and they walk out.
They were jumping horrible. Out of their
we had people,
seats,
real people.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, there's good. Actually a guy next to me. He's like this, and he's like trying to play it off like I didn't jump.
No way! Yeah. Oh, that's so
he's
cool.
He's all scratching. I'm like, you just jumped.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What other movies? I'm sorry. What other movies besides Exorcist did you like or get fun with?
Rosemary's Baby. There's this movie, Dolls.
Oh, yeah.
I was petrified of that movie because I had, you know, porcelain dolls growing up in my bedroom. So I literally, after I saw that movie, I grabbed a hammer and took off their heads.
Oh,
I did. I was like, my mom's like, what are you doing? Those are expensive. I'm like, they have a brain. I know it. And she's like, you are the weirdest kid ever. I'm like, I don't care. I can't even look at a porcelain doll the same. I promise.
Even now?
Yeah, even now. I'm still so scared.
How old were you when you did that?
I was probably like, you know, 8 or something.
You're too young to see this.
I know. What am I doing? I just love scary movies, so I, you know, I love the thrill.
You did an episode of Life on Mars.
Right.
Do you have a theory on that show? Like, what's going on with the character? What'd you do on that show?
I played a prostitute, actually. It was actually the creators of October Road. They're actually the creators of the American version of Life on Mars. So they called me up, and they said, and they're so great. They're like, we want to get everybody on the show on October Road on Life on Mars, so like we have this role for you. Do you want to do it? I was like, sure. I didn't read it or anything. And then when I read it, I was like, she drops her dress and she is making love to this guy. I'm like, oh my God, what are you having me do? But it's ABC, so it was, you know, very tastefully done. I never watched the British version, but I heard that it was really great. Jason O'Mara is awesome, and working with Harvey Keitel and Michael Imperioli is also, you know, a plus. God, I've worked with some great people. This is really good. Yeah, so I play this kind of, like, undercover, you know, prostitute that, you know, is getting, you know, information from one of the cops, from the lead, Sam.
Has your episode aired?
Yeah, it did. A little, I think, like, 3 weeks ago.
So I have to ask a teen question. What kind of music are you into? Or who specifically are you into?
I love all sorts of music. I'm really into Damien Rice and Amos Lee. I love Jack Johnson. And then I also love, like, the new T.I. and Rihanna song. And I love, you know, I love my friends, actually. Josh Radin, he's a great musician. And Katy Perry, she's one of my dear friends. So, it's so cool to have your friends, you know, doing so well. And
did you know her before she hit it big?
Yeah. I mean, I remember her sitting in my living room, you know, playing the acoustic guitar and just singing. And, you know, now she's this huge music star, and it's like, Katie, are you kidding me?
It's really cool. Last question. Who do you think makes The Unborn unique to other horror films that you've seen?
Well, I don't know if I said it. I don't even know what I've said it in this interview or that interview anymore. So I don't know if I said it in this room, but did I say that it's not a remake?
Mm-hmm.
I said that in here. Okay. Well, that's really, I think, what I think is so unique about it, because it's not a remake. It's a new story. It's a psychological thriller. It really kind of does get in your head, and, you know, I used to have recurring dreams, and, you know, it's not an easy thing for a kid to go through, especially... you know, being a twin and not knowing it and having your mother kill herself, as she thought, you know. So there's so many things that are so real that I think, you know, not only kids but anybody can really relate to. So, you know, hopefully it clicks with audiences and people, you know, really enjoy it.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.